Good morning. Good morning. If you would please find the Gospel of John. Well, I've been doing Christmas messages here for 28 years. That's a lot of Christmases, particularly when, you know, you do three or four different Christmas messages or lessons each season, each Christmas. So I try to find different passages that aren't normally associated with Christmas per se, and I would like to look at one this morning. In John chapter 12, we're going to read verses 27 through 36. John chapter 12, verse 27 through 36. Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So the crowd of people stood by and heard it, were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. But this he was saying to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. The crowd then answered him, we have heard out of the law that the Christ is to remain forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So Jesus said to them, for a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and went away and hid himself from them. If you would notice verse 34 for my text, the last part says, who is this Son of Man? Who is this Son of Man? Let's pray. Father, at Christmas we always focus on the manger. That's good. We focus on the virgin birth. That's important. That's essential. Lord, we focus on the Christmas story, the coming of the shepherds, the praises of the angels. A little bit later, when the wise men show up on the scene. Lord, we often think of Christmas in the context of birth and infanthood. But Lord, we must never forget that baby came for a purpose. And that child didn't stay a baby. That child was here for an appointed hour. And as we look at this text, as that hour approaches, and we see the very reason that this baby came, this child, this Son of God, Lord, as we see this clip, this clip of his life, help us to tie the two together, that this is that same baby who was born for a reason, who came for a purpose. And Lord, the people asked him, well, why? Why did you come? What is this all about? So God, open our eyes, our hearts, our minds, I pray, to understand the Christ of Christmas, what he is here, why he was here, what he accomplished, I pray. Amen. The angel told Joseph to call Mary's child Jesus. Jesus was, in our context, we'd say Jesus was his given name. If they had birth certificates, that would be his name on his birth certificate. We read that in, of course, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Yet two verses later, it says that they shall call his name Emmanuel. So, which is it? Is his name Jesus or is it Emmanuel? Well, his name is Jesus. That was what Joseph was told to name him, And that's what they named the child. They named the child Jesus. That's his given name. Emmanuel is one of his many prophetic titles. It's one of his many prophetic titles. In fact, it says they shall call his name, which we just discovered was Jesus. They shall call his name God with us. Okay, so what is his name? It's Jesus, who is God with us. So his first title, the prophetic title we're introduced to here, is Emmanuel. The fact that Jesus came signifies that God is with us. Now, Jesus was called many things: the Son of God, Lord, the Word, Son of David, King of the Jews, Savior, among others. But I have a question for you. By what title did Jesus refer to himself the most? Now, it's already up there, I think. It shouldn't be too hard to answer. Okay. Over 80 times in the Gospels, Jesus called himself the Son of Man. The Son of Man. This title is rooted in the Old Testament. It is a messianic title. By that I mean it's a title that points to the Messiah, the coming one, the Messiah. Okay? So this Son of Man points towards the Messiah. It comes directly from the book of Daniel. And we read in Daniel, chapter 7, that the Son of Man comes in the clouds, receives authority, dominion, and an everlasting kingdom. So it says the everlasting God granted this Son of Man this type of authority. Okay? So it combines humanity and deity. It points to Jesus Christ, the God-man. He's the Son of God, and he's the Son of Man. Both titles are correct. He was both. He was God come in the flesh. He was Jesus, who is God with us. So of all the titles that Jesus could rightfully claim and that were applied to him, the one he used the most about himself was Son of Man. Son of Man. It was his favorite way of revealing his identity. As God's Messiah, he's the divine human redeemer, the coming Prince of Peace, the coming King. So the question we asked ourselves, why did the Son of Man leave heaven's glory? Again, Daniel points to the fact that he comes in the clouds, okay? In other words, he left heaven and came to earth. Why did the Son of Man leave heaven's glory to be born in a borrowed stable in an obscure village to a poor young couple? Why did he step into a broken world filled with sin and suffering and death? Well, in John 12, just days before his crucifixion, Jesus lifts the curtain and tells us exactly why he came. Jesus is going to, if you will, explain the Christmas story. And as we read these words, and as we did read them, and we'll look at them here, these are not words of a helpless victim. Okay? These are the words of the Son, these are the words of the Lamb of God who knows his mission and embraces it. He knows he was appointed for this hour, and the hour is about to come when evil is defeated and he is lifted up, which clearly, in context, means crucified on a cross. You know, we've taken this term out of context quite often. You know, let's just lift up Jesus. Jesus was already lifted up. He was lifted up on a cross. He says, when I'm lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Right? So just days before that's to happen, Jesus explains why he's doing this, why he came for this hour. He came for this hour starting back in Bethlehem 30-something odd years ago. But now it's all arrived to this very moment. And he wants to explain, by referring to himself as the Son of Man, he wants to explain his mission, why he came. Christmas is not ultimately about gifts under a tree. It's about a Savior on a cross. As you know, as you've heard many times, Jesus was born to die. So, who is this Son of Man? Why did he come? Look at verse 27. Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Again, the hour is clearly his death, his crucifixion. Now, the thought troubled him. Remember, he's the God-man. Okay, so the thought consumed him, but he knew that that was the very reason that he was on earth. He knew that he had come for this very purpose, to die on that cross. So we ask, as they did in verse 34, and the crowd answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ," or the Messiah, "is to remain forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up?" Again, they knew what he meant. On a cross. Death. Who is this Son of Man? Well, he's the one who came to glorify his Father. Who is this Son of Man? Why did he come? Well, he came to glorify his Father. Verse 28, "Father, glorify your name." Now, so verse 27 says, "But for this purpose, I came to this hour, Father, glorify your name." This, he didn't come for his glory. He came for the Father's glory. And the response, of course, is a voice come out of heaven, verse 28, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Now, what does he mean by that? Well, God glorified it originally at Christmas, right? Jesus is standing in the shadow of the cross, and he knows what's coming. Betrayal, mocking, torture, separation from God, and death. His humanity recoils at the suffering that's ahead. He says, "My soul has become troubled," yet he does not ask for an escape. Instead, he says, "For this very reason I came to this hour, Father, glorify your name." The driving aim in Jesus' life was not self-preservation, but the glory of the Father. In fact, the Father's glory was Jesus' story. Why did Jesus come? He came because the Father wanted him to. It was for the glory of God that Christ became our Savior. So, so we see that in verse 28, when God says, "I have both glorified it," past tense, "and will glorify it again." Well, what's he mean? Well, at his birth, he glorified it. Remember Luke 2:14? "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." The angels say, "Glory to God in the highest." At his birth, it was for God's glory. But now we've come to his death in the darkest moment. He does this for the glory of God. Verse 28, "Father, I glorify your name." He says, "I'm going to the cross for your glory. That's the reason I came." Christmas reminds us that the arrival of the Son of Man is about God's glory. Secondly, why did he come? Well, who is the Son of Man? He's the one who came for our sakes. Now, he did it for God's glory, but he did it for our sake. Verse 30, Jesus answered and said, "This voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. When the Father spoke from heaven, the people heard thunder." They thought they heard thunder, or they thought they heard an angel. But Jesus said this voice wasn't to reassure him, it was for them. If you remember, just barely a couple pages ago, at Lazarus' tomb, Jesus prayed, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe. He wanted them to hear that God was aware of what Christ was doing. Christ consistently acted so that people could see, hear, believe, and understand God. Jesus came to make God accessible to sinners. He came to reveal the heart of the Father. Christmas is God stepping into human history so that fallen man could see what God is like. Jesus came to make God accessible to us. Well, thirdly, he's the one who came to defeat Satan. At Sunday school, we looked at the first hint of Christmas in the Old Testament, Genesis 3:15, where God says to the serpent, I put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He's pointing, he says, and her seed will crush your head. In other words, he's pointing to someone who would come to defeat the serpent, the devil. Okay. Jesus came to turn the tables on the devil. So verse 31 says, now judgment is come upon the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Jesus announces that the devil's authority is about to be broken. It boggles the imagination. The cross looks like Satan's winning, right? The cross looks like Satan's victory. But it was actually his defeat. I mean, Judas was an agent of Satan by betraying Christ to the authorities and giving false witness. He clearly Jesus calls him the son of perdition. He's clearly acting because of a demonic spirit, and he turns Jesus in. And Satan is thinking, this is it. I've got him. I'm winning. They're going to crucify him. I win. Little did he know that by being crucified, we win. Jesus wins for us. He defeats Satan. Verse 31, now judgment has come upon this world. Jesus is facing the judgment that we all deserve. And he's now casting out the ruler of this world. Jesus turns the table on the devil. 1 John 3:8. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose. I mean, you couldn't get more of a Christmas phrase than this. The Son of God appeared for this purpose. What? To destroy the works of the devil. He came to defeat Satan. Christmas is the invasion of enemy territory. And Easter is the declaration of victory. Fourthly, who is the Son of Man? He's the one who came to save. He's the one who came to save. Verse 32. And now, if I am lifted up from the earth, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. But this he was saying to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. Now, lest you think that's just an editorial opinion that John put in there to clarify, it's already clarified because the crowd understood it completely. Okay, so verse 33 says, but he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he would die. So when he says lifted up, he was saying crucifixion, lifted up on a cross. And the crowd, verse 34, understood this. Verse 34, the crowd answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ is to remain forever. Okay, in other words, saying if you really are who you claim to be, you can't be dying. It's an eternal designation. So we read in the Old Testament that the Messiah is to remain forever. How can you say that you're going to be lifted up? Who are you? Okay, they couldn't wrap their heads around that the Messiah would actually die. Okay, that's not what they were expecting. And when Jesus says, "I'm going to be crucified," they said, "That doesn't fit our theology. that doesn't fit our belief system. That's not who we thought the Messiah was." So he says, "If I am," verse 32, "if I'm lifted up, will draw all men to myself." Now, what does it mean by all? It does not mean that all people will automatically be saved. Scripture is clear that salvation comes only through repentance and faith in Christ. But it does mean this: there is no limit on who may come. There's no limit by nationality, ethnicity, background, social status. None of that limits who may come. In fact, in verse 20, if you'll look at verse 20, "Now there were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast, and these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.' And Philip came and said, Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified.'" Okay? How was he going to be glorified? In the fact that Gentiles could also come to him for salvation, not just Jews. He was not just the Jewish Messiah. The Greeks could come to him. It was for all. There was no limit on who could come to him. The gospel is for Jews and Gentiles alike. Christmas is God's open invitation to the world. There's one Savior for all who believe. Number five, he's the one who came to make us sons of light. He's the one who came to make us sons of light. Verse 35. "So Jesus said to them, 'For a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so the darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become the sons of light.'" We've seen this in John before, John chapter 1. The world is in darkness. Christ came to be the light. Christmas is the light of God's grace on display. Christ's coming and belief in him results in new birth. Believers are no longer merely sinners. We are sons and daughters. We are no longer outsiders, but we're family. We're no longer children of darkness, but children of light. This is why Christmas matters. He shows us the way of salvation. Well, there's more here. Number six, he's the one who came to show us what God is like. Look at verse 45. He's the one who came to show us what God is like. Verse 45, "He who sees me sees the one who sent me." Later, he would say to Philip, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." God, who is spirit, invisible, holy, took on flesh and blood. In Jesus, we see God in action. we see God's compassion, where it says, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he had compassion for them. That's God showing his compassion through Christ. We see God's holiness when Jesus goes into the temple and says, you've made my house a den of thieves, and kicks out the money changers. That's God's holiness. God's truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's God's truth. He's God's truth on display. He's God's holiness on display. God's compassion on display. God's love on display. Jesus said, no greater love has a man than this, that a man would lay down his life. And Jesus is doing that right here. He's laying down his life. We see God's justice. He said, woe to you, teachers and Pharisees and hypocrites. We see God's mercy when Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, he looks at the crowd and says, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. And they all walked away. Jesus is the invisible God become visible. Jesus is the invisible God become visible. Well, number seven, he's the one who came to remove us from darkness. This is a corollary to what we previously read. Look at verse 46. John 12:46. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. He came to remove us from darkness. Now, this verse reminds us of his pre-existence. He came into the world. Okay. He came into the world to remove us from darkness. Jesus' story didn't begin in Bethlehem. It began in eternity, in the annals of heaven. Before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain. His story doesn't start in that stable. It starts at eternity past, and Jesus stepped into the darkness as light of the world. So the last point is the best point, the one who came to give us eternal life. Verse 50. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. Christmas is God's message to us that for unto us a Savior is born, and that we can have forgiveness of sin and come to the cross and be forgiven and receive eternal life. Christmas is God's answer to the world's problem. So here's the truth of Christmas in one sentence. Jesus came to us because we could not go to him. Jesus came to us because we could not go to him. From heaven to earth, from glory to a manger, from a cradle to a cross, he took this journey to save us from our sins. Have you received him? Have you believed in the light? Has he forgiven your sins? Are we living for the glory of the Father like he did? Are we walking as children of light? Are we proclaiming the reason that he came? Jesus was born to die till we could live. Jesus was born to die so we could live. Let's pray. Lord, I know there are arguments about Christmas and about the date. None of those things are what really matters. What matters is that God is with us. Emmanuel. Jesus. His name means that God has arrived. He has invaded the enemy's territory. Satan is the ruler of this world, but his power has been broken at the cross. and death and the cross and the grave and hell no longer hold any fear for us because of what the Son of Man accomplished. So, Lord, help us to enjoy the holiday. There's nothing wrong with that. But, God, please, please, please do not let us forget that though the Christmas season is temporary, the salvation that he brings is eternal. Lord, my prayer is that there's someone here who's not trusted in Christ, that they would seek me out, or one of the people that prayed, or Pastor Caleb, and asked, what does it mean? Lord, I pray that as they go, that thought would continue to root itself in their mind as they contemplate what it means to be forgiven. So, Lord, we thank you for the gospel. Amen.